بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. وزاد فيه البرقاني بإسناد مسلم بعد قوله: حائش نخل، فدخل حائطا لرجل من الأنصار فإذا فيه جمل، فلما رأى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم جرجر وذفرت عيناه، فأتاه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فمسح سراته أي سنامه وذفراه فسكن، فقال: من رب هذا الجمل؟ لمن هذا الجمل؟ فجاء فتى من الأنصار فقال: هذا لي يا رسول الله. فقال: أفلا تتقي الله في هذه البهيمة التي ملكها الله في ملكك الله إياها؟ فإنه يشكو إلي أنك تجيعه وتدئبه. رواه أبو داود كرواية البرقاني. قوله ذفراء هو بكسر الذال المعجمة وإسكان الفاء، وهو لفظ مفرد مؤنث. قال أهل اللغة: الذفر الموضع الذي يعرق من البعير خلف الأذن. وقوله تذيبه أي تتعبه. Continuing or completing the riwayat which we began the discussion previously, just to recap, Abu Ja'far, Abdullah bin Ja'far radiallahu anhuma, narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam shared the camel with me one day. I sat behind him. He confided in me a secret which I will never reveal to anyone. And it was the noble practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when he had to relieve himself, he would conceal or he would take curtain or use as an obstacle or a barrier a wall or a date orchard. Continuing with this, there is a riwayat in Barqani, also narrated by Imam Muslim, that after this part of the hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make istinja behind a date orchard, mentions one particular incident that occurred. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone into an orchard to relieve himself, to make istinja. فَدَخَلَ حَائِطًا. He entered a garden or an orchard that belonged to one Ansar, in other words, a resident of Medina Munawwara. All of a sudden there was a camel. When this camel saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it cried out and its eyes brimmed over with tears. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to this camel or this animal, obviously witnessing its distress. He comforted it by placing his hand on the hump of the camel, and he began giving comfort to the rear of the ears of the camel. In other words, he touched the camel behind the ears. This, those who are familiar with camels, this is the procedure that one utilizes in order to calm the animal down. Dhifra in Arabic refers to the section behind the ear where normally when a camel has to exert itself, it starts perspiring in that section behind the ear. Fasakana, so the camel calmed down. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called out, "Who is the owner of this camel? To whom does this camel belong?" So a youngster from amongst the Ansar came and said that, "Ya Rasulullah, it belongs to me." To this Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam scolded the Sahabi, and he cautioned and warned him, remonstrated with him, "Do you not fear Allah? Or will you not have taqwa? Will you not fear Allah Ta'ala in the way that you treat this animal? مَلَّكَكَ اللَّهُ إِيَاهَا. That animal which Allah has placed in your possession, Allah has given you, made you Malik, the owner of this camel or this animal, will you not fear Allah in how you treat it?" And then he went on to explain that this camel has complained to me that you starve it and that you tire it. In the riwayat of Ahmad, it comes, Shakiyan kathrat al-amal wa qillat al-alaf. that this camel has complained of excessive labor. In other words, being overworked. قِلَّةَ الْأَلَفِ, and being given very little fodder, or being given very little food. In other words, starved and not given sufficient food or fodder. On the one hand, from this hadith we see the what we call mu'jiza and miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that at times even the animals would speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, inanimate objects, the riwayat of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I walked with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mastaqbalahu hajar wala shajar wala madar illa qala as-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. He says we didn't pass by a tree or a sand hump or a piece of clay on the ground or even a stump except that it addressed him and said, peace be upon you, O the Nabi of Allah. So the other creation of Allah Ta'ala, in fact the whole of humanity, recognized him as the Nabi of Allah. This was one of the mu'jizat and the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this instance, speaking to this animal or camel. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has mentioned this particular hadith under the chapter, two points pertinent to this hadith that he raised in his introduction. The one is that أَمْرُ مَنْ قَصَرَ فِي حَقِّهَا بِالْقِيَامِ بِحَقِّهَا. And one point is, do not وَمُرَاعَاتُ وَالْرِفْقِ بِالْدَوَابِ وَمُرَاعَاتِ مَصْلِحَتِهَا. First point he raised, exhibiting kindness towards animals and taking care of their maslihat, their needs. In other words, giving them sufficient rest, giving them sufficient food, etc. And the second part, pertinent to this hadith that he mentioned in his heading, the injunction of Shariat, that if you see someone ill-treating an animal, Islam advocates, don't be silent. Forget ill-treating a human being, your staff, your labors, as we illustrated or dealt with at length in previous riwayat, even an animal, if you see someone hitting a dog unnecessarily, ill-treating a cat, or in this instance, a cow or a camel. If you see someone who owns an animal that is ill-treating it, or the animal is being subjected to maltreatment, Islam doesn't allow you to be silent. With hikmat, with wisdom, approach that person and command that person or advise that person not to do this. Fear Allah. This animal cannot speak. Bu'ajama. It is mute. Allah has placed it in your service. So appreciate that and treat the animal in a kind or a compassionate way. So two aspects. One is treating, if you have an animal, treat it correctly. And if you see someone else ill-treating an animal, Islam advocates that you give advice to that person, as the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did in this particular instance. Over and above that, a few more important points that we learn from this hadith is, look at this expression that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam utilized. Will you not fear Allah with regards to this animal? And then he didn't just say this animal which you own. He said, مَلَّكَكَ اللَّهُ إِيَّاهَا. Allah has made you the Malik. Allah has placed this animal in your possession. So in this is ishara, an indication that this is Allah's ni'mat. This is Allah's favor upon you. And Allah Ta'ala, when it comes to His ni'mats and His bounties, Quran tells us, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you will appreciate Allah's favors, Allah will continue increasing these favors upon you. So appreciation is to treat it kindly, is to feed it upon time, not to overwork it, deprive it of its food, etc. This is all part of making shukr to Allah. If you make shukr, Allah will increase your wealth, Allah will preserve your wealth, Allah Ta'ala will give you more. So this is the inference in this expression, مَلَّكَكَ اللَّهُ إِيَّاهَا. Other points of this hadith which we already touched upon, one is that it's a mu'jiza of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he spoke to camels, even to other animals, and at times even to inanimate objects. The permissibility of having more than one, putting more than one rider on a particular camel or an animal if it has the ability to do so. The point of where the youngster from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Ja'far, says that I concealed the secret of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I honored that. If somebody confides something secret to you, don't spread that information, keep it to you. The point we also mentioned that secret obviously would have been something personal, not part of Shariat, because if it was part of Shariat, to conceal anything that is part of Shariat will not be permissible. وَنْ أَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالْ كُنَّا إِذَا نَزَلْنَا مَنْزِلًا لَا نُسَبِّحُ حَتَّى نَحُلَّ الرِّحَالِ رواه أبو داود بإسناد على شرط مسلم وقوله لا نسبح أي لا نصلي النافلة ومعناه أن ما حرصنا على الصلاة لا نقدمها على حتى الرحال وإراحة الدواب. This brings us to the last hadith of this particular chapter, which to a very large extent has to do with the correct treatment of the animals that Allah Ta'ala, as His ni'mat and bounty, has placed in our service. Anas radiallahu ta'ala narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Anas radiallahu ta'ala mentions the noble conduct of the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, kunna, in other words, nahnu ashabu Muhammad, we the jamaat, or we the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha nazalna manzilan, when we would reach our destination or we would set up for the night on a particular journey. La nusabbih, he uses the word nusabbih. Nusabbih comes from sabbaha yusabbihu, which means to make tasbih. In this context, it actually means la nusallin nafila. We would not read nafil salah. If the time for far salah is running out, there is absolutely no excuse to delay that salah. It is absolutely pertinent. Sometimes on a journey, for whatever reason, circumstances arose, your namaz got late. Now the time is running out. And you'll get some people going to make, mashallah, very long wuzu. Somebody gets involved in a conversation. Then you're looking around discussing which way is Qibla. And unnecessary time is wasted. Still at times, because of the extenuating circumstances of a journey, sometimes you even miss the farz salah. When it is time for farz salah and it's running out particularly, there is no excuse to delay even 1 second. What is being referred to here is not farz salah. It's referred to nafil salah. Sahaba, when they were out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, when they would go on a journey also, they would make ihtimam of making even their nafil salah. So we find that he mentions it was the practice of the companions of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they set up camp or set up for night or stopped at a certain point, they would not engage in nafil salah. In other words, it's not mentioned in the riwayat, but the inference, ma'ahirsina, despite our great love and despite our great ihtimam for nafil salah, we wouldn't start any nafil salah, any zikr, any tilawat, any ibadat, hatta nahurla rihal, until we had not removed the burden from the animal. In other words, obviously when you're traveling with animals, they are carrying your saman, your goods, etc. Now you reach a destination, mashallah, you're very muttaqi and pious, you start reading nafil salah and zikr and tilawat, leaving the burden on that particular animal. To this extent, we are advised in Islam that the compassionate treatment of every creation of Allah Ta'ala. Sahaba obviously gleaned this from the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he says, first we would unburden the animal. And it comes in other riwayat. In fact, some scholars mention it is mustahab to even delay your own meals until the animal is fed. Remove the burden from the animal, feed them, see to them. Thereafter, you can engage in nafil salah, tilawat of Quran, zikrullah, etc. In the same way, we learn etiquette when we are traveling in the path of Allah Ta'ala. If you're stopping at a certain place, then see to the basic necessities first. And don't cause taklif unnecessary to others whilst you are engaged in nafil salah, in tilawat, in zikr, etc. Simple example is our daily masajid. Sometimes you find somebody parks his car in such a way, he's blocking people. And he inside, mashallah, is reading very long nawafil, etc. We find clearly in the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, a person who remains in the masjid, engaged in ibadat, after the farz, not only is he getting sawab, he gets the dua of the malaika. Allahumma salli alayhi, Allahumma arhamhu. They say, oh Allah, have mercy upon him. But it is mentioned in hadith, this dua, that sawab that he is getting, ma lam yu'dhi fihi, as long as he is not causing takleef to someone. If he is causing takleef to someone, the first obligation is to remove that takleef, that impediment, then engage in your ibadat. So if you're sitting in the masjid and you're causing takleef to someone outside, your car is parked badly, that is not sawab. In fact, there the injunction is for you to leave the nafil ibadat and go and remove the impediment. In the same way, we learn this usul, traveling in the path of Allah Ta'ala, etc. Sahaba, this burden on the animal, they would remove that first before engaging in any nafil ibadat. Allah give us tawfiq.